Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are just in time for some more information that you can use. You know, we really, really like leaving people with hope, and it is so great when our outstanding guests can empower us with hope. Dr. Amy House is someone who's going to be doing that today as we continue a discussion we had a few months ago regarding borderline personality disorder. We talked a bit about that last time. We're going to make sure we talk treatment this time because we want you to know there is hope. Dr. House, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
It is so good to hear your voice again, have you back with us. You know, when we were talking last, one of the things that was going to be taking place, you had a conference going on, and we definitely want to let you tell us about how that went. But for the benefit of the people who were not with us when you and I spoke first, which, of course, was the last time we spoke as well, could you give people more about the introduction of who Dr. Amy House is, you know, how you decided to move into the field of mental health, and what you're doing now at Augusta University?
Yes. I am a licensed psychologist, clinical psychologist at Augusta University in the psychiatry department. And I specialize in the treatment of borderline personality disorder, as well as the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder. And in particular, I'm a behavior therapist, so I approach problems from the perspective of behavioral science using behavior therapy approaches. And I really have been doing this for close to 20 years now, doing psychotherapy for close to 20 years now, and the field of psychotherapy is always changing, and there's a lot of new and exciting research that's always coming out about how to really help people improve their lives. And we know a lot more now than we did even 20 years ago about how to help people who are suffering. And so that's one of the reasons I like being in mental health, is that it's a field where things are always changing and new discoveries are happening, and new research is coming out that makes it really interesting and exciting to be a part of helping people.
And I truly appreciate you and everyone in the field for doing what you do. There's no doubt that the same way we have problems with our bodies, and we sometimes need to consult with a professional who's trained to help us resolve that physical problem, there are times when we have something going on with the mind, with the emotions, and we need to consult with someone who is professionally trained to help us with that. I'm saying that to ask you this. You've been in the field for 20 years now. Does it seem like people are a little more willing to get with a mental health professional when that's needed compared to 20 years ago? Or does it seem like the reluctance is about as great now as it used to be?
Well, I think... I think there are. I think there's more openness than there used to be in talking about mental illness and mental disorders, and certainly in popular culture, you're more likely to hear people talking about struggling with depression or anxiety or getting treatment of some kind or another. I think that's more common now than it used to be, but there's still a lot of stigma associated with having emotional problems or emotional struggles, and there's still a lot of people who avoid getting treatment because of the stigma associated with it. So that's something that I'm really interested in trying to change and let people know that, you know, struggling with emotional problems is really common, and that there's effective treatment available.
And you know, Dr. House, I wouldn't be surprised if with all of the various factors weighing on life now, and it seems like no matter where in the world you look, it seems like there are stressors that seem to be mounting. I wouldn't be surprised if the need for mental health care grows over the years.
Well, it has, for sure, and it's not exactly clear what all the factors are that have contributed to that, but it does seem like more than ever, especially in the U.S. and in Western cultures, more than ever, we are seeing people who are suffering from emotional problems, emotional disorders. More than ever, we see people struggling with depression, with anxiety, with addiction, and that's the rates of those kinds of problems are going up rather than going down.
That is so amazing. With all of the progress that we make in so many ways in life, something is going on that's causing that to get worse.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned that one of your areas of specialty is borderline personality disorder. Would you explain again what that is?
Yeah. So borderline personality disorder is a disorder of pervasive emotion dysregulation. And what that means is that people who have this disorder are people who, from an early age, have been people who are really extra emotionally sensitive and highly reactive in their emotions. And that sort of extra emotional sensitivity and reactivity has ripple effects in other ways in their lives, so that it results in impulsive behaviors that can be self-destructive or damaging to other people, and that the emotional dysregulation results in problems in their relationships. They might have difficulty starting relationships or maintaining relationships, and that it also results in a poor sense of self, or a lost or confused sense of self, and then also in troubles with thinking, just trouble paying attention, trouble thinking clearly, trouble solving problems. And so often what you have are people who are really suffering emotionally, and often they're experiencing chronic thoughts of suicide, chronic problems with self-harm behavior. Often there's substance use involved, substance abuse, and other kinds of impulsive or self-destructive behavior, and that it's affecting their lives in multiple areas.
You mentioned addiction, and we know that often with addictions, the addict denies that their use is having an impact on their relationships. Are people who are suffering from borderline personality disorder normally aware of the fact that they have a condition that is having a negative impact on some of their relationships? And if so, do they also tend to deny, or are they ready to just admit that this is an issue for them?
Yes, most of the time, and now certainly, as far as I know, of course, most of the people that I encounter are people seeking treatment. But most of the time, people with BPD are people who are really suffering, and they know they're suffering. And they're aware that that their emotional dysregulation and their behaviors are causing problems in their lives. They often feel out of control and really want to be more in control. And so often there are people who seek treatment repeatedly and can have a lot of difficulty finding effective treatment. And so very often before they come to a specialized treatment program, they've been to multiple other treatment providers before finding a treatment that works.
And when you mentioned other treatment providers, like internists, or they're not really connecting with the right type of professional initially?
Well, what I mean is they may have actually seen mental health professionals, but this is a disorder that really requires some specialized training, I think, in order to treat effectively. And so a lot of times mental health professionals aren't necessarily specifically trained for treating or even diagnosing borderline personality disorder. So it hasn't been diagnosed correctly or appropriately, and it hasn't been treated appropriately.
I got you.
So they may have been diagnosed with depression or with an addiction problem or with some other disorder, and it hasn't really been accurately diagnosed, and therefore it hasn't gotten the treatment that it needed.
And some of the symptoms that professionals need to be looking for, some of those that you mentioned to us, the pervasive emotion dysregulation, impulsivity, confused sense of self, etc.?
Yes.
Well, so what are some of the causes of borderline personality disorder?
Well, as best we know, there are probably sort of multiple causes, but our best understanding of what causes this pervasive emotion dysregulation to develop is that it's a combination of a biological vulnerability to being just extra emotionally sensitive and an environment that's a poor fit for that. And so the environment that would be a poor fit for an emotionally sensitive child is what we call an invalidating environment, or an environment where the emotional needs of the child aren't recognized and aren't sufficiently validated. And so that environment can be a regular, normal family that's just a lot less emotional than their child, and so they just don't understand their emotional child. They don't know how to respond effectively to an emotional child. But it can also be environments where parents are abusive. And in fact, a lot of people who have borderline personality disorder actually come from abusive families. It can also be home environments where parents are overwhelmed themselves with addiction or substance abuse or mental illness, or maybe they're really just absent from the home because of overwhelming stressors of other kinds, or working multiple jobs, or other children in the home who are maybe chronically ill and requiring attention. So all of these are potentially the kinds of environments that could be a poor fit for a child who really has emotional vulnerability. And the kind of combination of that over time, there's sort of transactions that take place between the child and the environment over time, can result in this kind of development of this pervasive emotion dysregulation in a child, or ultimately in an adult who experiences really extremely intense emotions and has not learned to recognize their emotions, to regulate their own emotions, because they haven't had an environment in which they were sort of coached in how to do that.
And so part of the issue is that the person may already be, maybe even from birth, biologically predisposed to having this problem, and this poor environmental fit just triggers it and causes the symptoms to really be manifest?
Yeah, it's not so much as a trigger as it is a sort of like combination over time. But you're right, the poor environmental fit sort of this creates the conditions under which an emotionally vulnerable child just never really, sort of exacerbates the dysregulation in emotion and makes it impossible for a child. It's like almost like having a sort of a special needs child who like never really learns the special skills that they need to learn to regulate their own emotions. You know, like it's like if you had an ADHD child, then that child would need, you know, special skills to learn to like pay attention and regulate their behavior. An emotionally sensitive child needs special skills for learning to, you know, name and identify their emotions and regulate their emotions, and an environment that's a poor fit, it doesn't really teach that, over time can result in a person who's really extremely emotionally dysregulated and going to behavioral extremes.
I got you. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Dr. Amy House. She's talking with us about mental health in general, but more particularly borderline personality disorder. When we come back, she's going to be talking about treatment options for borderline personality disorder, so that that part of it, that element of it, that component of the conversation that she really wanted to share with you, the message of hope, is what we'll leave you with. We'll be right back.